130 years is indeed a tremendous opportunity for us to celebrate. And I wanted to just give a few thoughts as we continue to move forward in this time of celebration and service. And I want to open up with Deuteronomy 8 in just one verse. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you should keep his commandments or not. And you remember the verse following, we won't put that on the screen. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is God's word. We gather today on 130 years, which happens also to be 9/11 of all days. So thank you, Pastor Riley, for leading us in that time to remember the tragic events that unfolded on 9/11 those years ago, and for us to be a congregation that remembers and prays. First of all, today we celebrate the past. We are a church that likes to have fun. We like to party. We enjoy good food. This is my kind of church. I guess God really brought us from Chicago to New England to the right church. And we are celebrating from last night to today. And then my wife and I will host one final Afterglow dinner party because we can't get enough for our leaders and the pastors and their lovely wives. We are celebrating, and it's something that I believe we should do and do often. And as I was riding on my John Deere mower and wondering, should we do something like this? God made it very, very clear. I was cutting my grass in Glastonbury. You need to do this so that people can celebrate what God has done. And so we are doing that, and from everyone that has participated, from the video tributes that came in, through the wonderful event that we had last night, we are intentionally journeying back into the past to celebrate what God has done. And as we do that, different men and women and people, including Norm Swenson, as we are reminded, in the Great Christmas musical that touched thousands upon thousands here in our community. It is a trip that is quite nostalgic as we journey to 130 years into our past. And so as I reflected, because every fall around this time, we take a moment to intentionally have a Vision Sunday. My secret strategy behind all this is to also cast a vision for what God wants us to do next. And one of the best ways to do that is to visit where we came from. The past, as we journey, often is very nostalgic. For so many of us, as I've thought through this, and as we visit the memory lane of Trinity Covenant Church, including our own journeys, we often are very warmed by events and people from our past. And so over the years, this will be my fifth also vision challenge in the fall. I've picked a few things over the years that we have been challenged with. I think about my parents, who are immigrants, and I said, Dad, when was this picture taken? And immediately texted in literally seconds, July 4th, 1968 at JFK. I said, Dad, how do you remember that? I remember it clearly. As they as new immigrants without a penny to their name, couldn't speak a lick of English, arrived, could you imagine, from the country of Korea into New York City in the late 60s to begin a new life away from everything that they knew that was familiar and family and friends and kimchi and all the wonderful things the Korean people have enjoyed. There's a nostalgia. It's beautiful. Kathy and I, we still remember the days without kids. We used to have fun and cruise around on my motorcycle. We had great times. Nostalgic, wonderful. And whether it's your own marriage, and I see many of your posts, you think, especially the older that we get, you remember the glory days of the past in your life, in your marriage, life before children. Your own parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. And we have done that collectively, communally, as Trinity Covenant Church. And we celebrate what God has done. But as many of our pastors have shared, we don't stay there. We cannot just live in former glory, because there are dangers. Churches tend to become insider-focused as time goes on. And so we take time to celebrate what God has done. But we were reminded, if you remember, going through the Unstuck Church, that churches can't have new influence without giving up their old ways. They can't reach new people without giving up their old methods. Churches can't see people experience new life in Christ without challenging them to give up their old life. You can't preserve the past and expect to go to a new place of health in the future. Tony Morgan. I think we've done a pretty darn good job of celebrating the past and honoring our forebears and spiritual ancestors that gathered together to begin worshiping Jesus in prayer and in Bible study. We celebrate the past, but what do we do with it? We cannot remain in it, or we will begin to die. And so secondly, this morning, what do we do with it? We learn from it. Learn from the past. As we think about the pictures hanging on the Founders Chapel wall, as we have nostalgically journeyed back into time 130 years ago till today, that video last night that Missy Bauman did, was that not phenomenal or what? Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you, Missy. And we will discuss, but I believe we probably will make that available so anyone who was not able to watch that can journey with us as well in these 130 years of our history. Learn from the past. These dozen Swedish immigrants had a spiritual hunger. As revival fires burned in their hearts to really live for Jesus, they found the cold formal religion of the Lutheran State Church in Sweden as lifeless, as choking, as restrictive, and they wanted freedom to be able to worship in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what they did when they came. Remembering Jesus' words, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Their love for the word of God, where is it written? Show me in scripture, where is it written? And are you alive in Jesus? How goes your walk presently? Not a decision you made 10, 20, 30 years ago at a Billy Graham crusade or in your room or at a camp or retreat. But today, how are you living for Jesus in the present? That is a tremendous challenge that we can learn from. And I believe because they were immigrants, they knew that they were on a journey. They had a difficult life adjusting to life in America, and they clung on to the Lord with dependency and hunger. Boy, we could learn a thing or two about humility and dependency and staying connected in desperation to God, to one another, and His Word. There's so much as we visit the past that we can learn from and be challenged by. And I believe that they were all in, and they were in it together. There were no spectators among them. Together, these dozen immigrants began to journey with Jesus. They were all in, and they were in it together. Phyllis Nelson, from her wonderful book that we've quoted a lot, studied from, "It is difficult for us," she says, "to imagine the problems that they confronted, these immigrants, as they arrived here. No money, even borrowing money to buy tickets for the immigrant ship, unable to speak the language, unable to read signs for directions, no understanding the strange American customs, without a home, without a job. This was a trying time for them. Some had relatives or friends to meet them, but most came alone. It is no wonder that they searched for fellow Swedes in order to find help." I love that immigrant spirit. I love that hunger that they had. We can learn much. And as we heard Tracy Heaven's voice in that video yesterday, they sacrificially put together what little money they had, and $1,400 were collected to build the church on Spruce Street, when during that time the average weekly wage was only $9 a week. They sacrificed together. They were all in, and in it together. And I think another thing that we can learn from them is that they were a local church for their community. They had a heart for the community and people of Manchester. Whether they were working in the Cheney Mills, whether they're worshiping in Cheney Hall, that's still there today with evening worship services before their building was constructed, the members together were in it together and had a heart for evangelism and a concern for their neighbor's good. And I love in this book, imagine this picture. In 1906, an organ was purchased. It was not as nice as this one. It was a pump organ. And so in order for it to produce sounds, a bellows had to be pumped in order for the organ to make sounds. And so the Sunday school children took turns moving the lever so they could worship God. What a picture of multi-generational, intergenerational ministry for the good of God's people in the town of Manchester. There's so much we can learn from them. And as we do that, let us not cancel the past. Let us not reinterpret the past. Let us not have a revisionist history of the past or adjust the history according to the cultural pressures today, but we take it, we celebrate it, we learn from it, and finally, we build on it. It is terribly humbling in such a beautiful way to see some of my predecessors here ministering, connecting, meeting with you all, pouring out their hearts, and to see the relationships, the connections, the hugs, the tears. It reminds me that there was a foundation that was laid prior to my arrival and yours, even if you've been here over 50 years. And we take the beauty of the past, we celebrate, we learn from it, and then we move forward by faith and we build the kingdom of God in our generation, in our time, with today's challenges and opportunities. And so I should be paid by Chick-fil-A, but yes, sitting in Chick-fil-A almost 5 years ago, praying, "Lord, what am I doing here in New England? And I miss my Chicago deep dish pizza, Jesus. This flat stuff is okay, but it doesn't compare. Lord, we are suffering for Jesus. And while I'm eating too much Chick-fil-A, it was there that the vision came. Pursue God and pursue people. Let that be the heartbeat of Trinity in the time as you lead and serve this congregation. And as we flesh that out, Trinity Covenant Church will be a church for our city, just like our forebears 130 years ago, that pursues God and his passion for people through a gospel movement starting in Manchester, our communities that surround it, and then the world. It's based upon God's pursuit of us. God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances, is he not? Who of us would be here if he was not pursuing us in our lives by sending different men, women, children to continually pursue our hearts because we have a tendency to run away, to stray, to forget, and do our own thing. He is a pursuing God. And as we pursue him back, we also pursue him and we pursue people. That is the way forward. From this beautiful foundation that has been laid, we move forward. The Unstuck Church reminded us, any organization, including a church, that does not focus on reaching new people has already started to decline and will eventually die. So we celebrate the past, we learn from it, but we cannot remain there. We must move forward, led by the Spirit of God, by the power of God, in the mission of God. And that's what we're going to do. And so just a few weeks ago, as we were in our Church Reborn series, I likened us coming out of this pandemic as the sleeping giant Gulliver in his travels, forgetting that he had great power. If he would just rise off from the Lilliputians' ropes to snap those away and wake up, he would realize how much power and how strong he really was in his deep sleep. And as we have found that many of our regular church members, as we revisited some of the challenges from Carrie Newhoff, they're not mad, he says, nor are they afraid. They have just become indifferent to whether they come back or not. Most people, we were reminded, he shares, who have stopped attending church didn't leave your church, they just stopped coming. That's what indifference does. You stop coming, but you never really think of yourselves as having left. And as we begin to rebuild, and the challenge that we received a few weeks ago is, if the church has become the sleeping giant, we must wake up. We must wake up. The antidote to indifference is passion. Passion, not in our personality or our love for hobbies and sports or eating all the Chick-fil-A that you want till you get cholesterol and high blood pressure from the salt and the deep-fried chicken nuggets, but rather the passion that comes when we re-engage in the mission of God for our lives. That's how renewal comes. This is how Trinity will return back. We must pursue new people, new generations in a new spirit. And 5 years ago, when I sat down with our key leaders and shared this vision and strategy, and we looked at the changing demographics. This Manchester is not our great-great-grandparents' Manchester. And even from 5 years ago till now, look how much it's even changed. Manchester is barely even half white now. This is how much, even in 5 years, it has changed dramatically. And look at the other races, the other ethnicities, the other nations. This is our community. This is our neighborhood. This is our mission field. We must engage in the pursuit of new people in new generations in new ways, not just to grow our church bigger, but because it is the mission of God. I'm excited about this. Is anyone willing to join as we move forward in the mission of God here at Trinity Covenant Church? We talked about young people who infuse congregations with energy. From growing young, healthy churches reach young people, and young people make churches healthier. If your church is reaching 20-year-olds, your church will also reach 60 years old. Kara Powell. And you remember when we went over the art of neighboring, what if Jesus meant for us to love our literal neighbors as ourselves? With all our fall opportunities to grow and be discipled and classes and Bible studies and Alpha, this week, it was so busy getting ready for everything this weekend. You can imagine all the details, all the things that we have to think about for this entire weekend. I said, why did I share to the congregation last Sunday? Keep me accountable. Make sure that I ask people that God has put in my heart to come to Alpha, my neighbors. You guys remember that? How come no one called me and asked me? Come on. Don't be afraid. But because I did that, I felt this pressure. I'm like, oh my God, someone's going to ask me, did you reach out to your neighbors and invite them? And so I had a real struggle this week. I'm so busy. But God put in my heart, revival and passion comes when we re-engage with the mission of God. And so I started working my phone, the text, the Facebook Messenger, and began to reach out and invite over a half dozen different neighbors, families, and friends to come to our church and to think about Alpha. I said, huh, Mr. Mayor, I think he would benefit Jay Moran to come to Alpha. Jay, we're having this thing called Alpha. I don't know if you have time to come, but it could be beneficial. We'd love to have you. Last night, as he presented our church that award, he said, I'll see you Thursday at Alpha. Phyllis Nelson, and I'll conclude with this. You remember when renewal was happening, they were running out of space in the church. During the past, most recent 50 years of our history, there has been a concentrated effort to minister to all the people of Manchester and the surrounding areas. This started in the 1940s and has had dramatic consequences. Since then, there have been three building expansions, and we are ready for another. This is what happens when we focus on the mission of God and not just have a church for ourselves, but engage in God's mission to reach and love hurting people with the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, this is our prayer, and I'll end with this. And if we could read it together as we prepare to approach the Lord's table, led by our own Pastor Alan Hurl. Renew us, Lord, together. Lord Jesus, renew us in the power of the Holy Spirit, the word and prayer, as we seek spiritual revival, unity, and a new sense of mission after a season of great challenge. For your glory alone, amen. May we do this as we begin our 131st year to pursue God and his passion for people. Amen? Amen.